Our study tonight is out of Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 36, God's judgment of those who heed errant leaders. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verses 24, critiqued Christ's exorcism of demons as being performed by Satan's power. And some of Israel's people embraced that critique and voiced it as their own critique in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. In response to these people, just as he had defended his exorcisms as an apologetic back in Matthew 12, 25 to 45, Jesus repeated that same apologetic and followed it with a polemic, that's critiquing Israel's people, in Luke 11, 17 to 36. So we view this event of God's judgment of those who heeded errant leaders for our insight and application. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Luke 7, 14 through 36. And Jesus is casting out a demon, and it was dumb. In other words, it made the man mute. And it came to pass when the demon was gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he's casting out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the demons. In other words, that's Satan. And others, putting him to the test, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through Beelzebub. But if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his place, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all that his armor weareth he hath trusted and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from whence I've come out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. Then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breasts which thou hast nursed. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation, and they seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment, excuse me, and with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he has lit a candle, puts it on a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give you light. Okay, we need to explain all of this. Very interesting passage of Scripture. When Jesus cast out a demon that had made a man mute, and he healed the man, and the healed man spoke, the crowd of people was amazed. However, some of the people voiced the critique that the Pharisees had made about Jesus back in Matthew 12:24, that he drove out demons by Satan, Luke 11:15. In addition, others of the people tested Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven, Luke 11:16. That happens to be the same test the religious Pharisees had given to Jesus after he had answered their critique that he had cast demons out by Satan's power back in Matthew 12:38. It's interesting. I've studied the life of Christ a lot. I did not realize that these are two different events. All the people are doing is voicing the beliefs of the Pharisees who led them. In other words, they're following their errant religious leaders. And you would think that Jesus might want to excuse the people, but no, he didn't. He laid the people right out as well. So these critics among the people had adopted the faithless views of their religious leaders, the Pharisees. Now, in response, Jesus gave these people the same apologetic that he had given the Pharisees. He did this in verses 17 to 32. Just as he had done in Matthew 12, Jesus refuted the false explanation of his person by presenting three proofs. Christ said that if he got his power from Satan and used the power against Satan, then Satan would be working against himself, which was inconceivable. That's the same argument he used back in Matthew 12. It's interesting how the Lord Jesus said, think about this. Is this logical? If I'm casting Satan out by Satan's power, then Satan is destroying himself. So how can I be working for Satan? You know, just common sense sometimes shows the truth. The second reason rose from the fact that there were in Israel that day those who practiced exorcism, cast demons out of the afflicted. If they're exorcists operated by God's power, why did they attribute his power to casting out demons to Satan? See, the Jews in those days ascribed the power of their exorcists to God. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be using them. So Jesus says, well, if you believe that they're casting out by God's power, why are you judging me as casting demons out by Satan's power? You're not even consistent with yourselves. Third, Jesus noted that before a man can invade a guarded citadel, he must be able to overpower the guards. So if Christ can enter Satan's citadel, it's evident that he has greater power than Satan, who had have sought to resist him. But Jesus is therefore overcoming Satan, therefore there's no way that he can belong to Satan's power. He's more powerful than Satan. Who's more powerful than Satan? God. Because Satan was the most powerful angel that fell. Well, Jesus added that the people had to side with him or the Pharisees. There was no other choice. It's interesting, you'll notice that in verse 30. Where am I here? Was it verse 30 that he said that? No, verse 28. Yea, rather, verse 25. That's not it either. Anyway. There was a verse, I didn't get the verse properly written down here, but it's the verse where Jesus said, he that doesn't gather with me scatters. That's verse 23. So in other words, you're either for me or you're against me. You can't be riding the fence on this, and I'll have to change that verse. My apologies. Well, then as he did with the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 43 to 45, Jesus told the people's state in verses 24 to 28 of Luke 11. Jesus likened Israel's people to a man who was exorcised of a demon. And he's just using this as an illustration. Only later, to be demon-possessed by seven demons who were more wicked than before, so that his latter state was worse than this initial one. Now, applied to Israel's people, the nation had initially identified with John the Baptist's ministry of repentance in preparation for Messiah's arrival. But now that Christ had come, they had rejected his ministry, making the latter state of Israel worse than it was before they had repented under John. So this is quite an illustration. Israel was in darkness, that's true, before John came. John came and he, you know, preached the baptism of unto repentance. And so they were being baptized by John, and they were confessing their sins. And then John presented Jesus to Israel. He said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. But now the people are rejecting the Lamb of God that God presented. So it's just as though these people had been cast out of a demon and now they're indwelt by seven worse demons. So they're becoming harder and harder spiritually. Then a woman of faith cried out a blessing for Jesus' mother who gave him birth and nursed him. And he pronounced a greater blessing on those who related to him in faith over his physical ties. Luke 11, 27 and 28. Jesus further addressed those who sought a sign from heaven, stating as he had with the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 39 to 42, that no sign would be given to it but the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah had been in the fish in judgment for 3 days and 3 nights, So Christ would be in the grave for 3 days and nights before being resurrected as a sign of judgment on his unbelieving generation. Incidentally, the 3 days and the three nights of Jesus, this is not three consecutive days and nights like we do. In the Orient, or Oriental culture, Jesus went into the grave Friday. He was in the grave Saturday, and he rose Sunday morning. So since that touched all 3 days, you have to include 3 days and three nights. Because if you're touching any part of a day, you have to include the entire day and night. And so it's a different way of speaking and thinking than we do. But that's why Jesus fulfilled that passage. Well, Christ repeated, as he had with the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 41 to 42, his statements that the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh, who repented in their day, would rise up to judge Jesus' generation, Israel, since they had believed with the lesser party, where Jesus was the greater party that the people had rejected. So it's interesting. This is demonstration that when people stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, they're not going to be able to say, well, I wasn't a religious leader. I wasn't trained in a seminary, so how can I be, accountable? And Jesus is saying, well, and he's going to use some logical arguments. He's going to lay it right out. And he's going to give the same judgment to them as he would somebody, a seminary professor somewhere, because the truth of God is very evident. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Spiritual truth is spiritual truth. So people are responsible before the Lord. So in Luke 11, 33 to 36, Jesus closed his discourse with a polemic and a call for unbelieving people to repent. Now this is different. He didn't do this with the leaders, but he did it with the people. I'll reread those verses here for us. Verse 33 and following. No man, when he has lit a candle, puts it on a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is healthy, single actually means healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. The eye is what they're using to perceive. These people were using their eye to perceive, but what they were doing was borrowing the eyesight of their blind leaders. They're supposed to be using your own eyes. They're supposed to be thinking. So verse 35 is a key. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. And that describes a lot of people in the world today. They think they're holding to the light. What they're holding to is darkness. It's not light. It's not the truth of God's light at all. If your whole body, verse 36, therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining on the candle does give you light. So what Jesus had done and taught fully revealed the Father to Israel as the light, Luke 11:33. So the rejection of that truth was not a problem with Christ, the light, but with the people who were in darkness. That's verse 34. So Jesus warned Israel's people to watch out that they thought was the light of God's truth in their religious leaders' teaching, not be spiritual darkness, that they might believe the truth to be saved. So each one of us, when we stand before the Lord someday, we are going to give an account for what we believed and what we acted upon. And so this is why I always encourage people, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you, especially as a believer, you should be evaluating what every teacher, including myself, say, and I've said this before, you need to evaluate and see if it's really the truth of the Word of God, and or what you hear on the radio. Sometimes, or if you're visiting in another church somewhere, you're responsible before the Lord. So God held Israel's people responsible for their decision to heed their ungodly leaders over God's truth. So may we hearers be sure to heed God's truth and not just the words of our teachers. For God holds us responsible for adhering to his biblical truth, regardless what the teachers we have heard have told us. Boy, is this applicable. After the worship service today, I was talking with a couple that had joined our church. And they knew, they have a friend. They've been talking to this friend about Nepog Church. They love the church here and trying to get the person to come. And all of a sudden, since they've talked about this person that they've, you know, been a friend with for decades, this person has just pushed them away and resisted. Well, come to find out, I was conversing with this couple, and they shared that this person had been raised in a home with a very severe father. It was a different religion, and then had been forced to go to a parochial school of a different religion, and had a real bad experience there. So this person has come away with a conviction that everything in Christendom is like that background that she had. So I said, well, Nepok Church is not like that. We don't even believe that way. She said, yeah, but I can't persuade the person. So I said, well, the best thing to do is just live Christ in front of this person, because you're not going to, you know, if a person's already hardened, you know, getting preachy with them is poof. It's not going to work. It's just going to get them harder and harder. The best thing to do is to live the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, everything we were talking about in children's conversation today, and in front of a person. And then that whets their appetite, hopefully. They want that in their lives as well. And then we can gradually lead them to Christ. But I did say, you know, this person is responsible before God for trying to categorize every church in Christendom as that background that this person has had. That in someday, you know, God's going to hold that person accountable. You can't just judge everything by what happened in your background with a certain particular church, because it might be false. So the best thing to do is to go in search of the truth. And that's what this couple has done. They've come to Nepog, and they very much appreciate it and love it here. And they love what they believe is the truth that is being taught here at Nepog Church. And so they're very, very happy here. But it's a tough thing for them to learn that you can't just share about this being a wonderful church, because people read into that their own backgrounds, unfortunately. And also sometimes they read into what people tell them, not only their backgrounds, but the experiences that they've had. And they're hardened as a result of that. So prayer is the number one thing I recommend to the company. You've got to be always, when it comes to pardon person we're trying to deal with, pray, because that gets the Lord involved. But then just live. Live in front of them. Live the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that itself will sometimes be a conviction and convicting thing, but that's all right. We need to let that go. That's not our fault. But they need to see the Spirit of God within us, and that to persuade them to come to know the Lord.